Hey guys, welcome back to the Breaking Western podcast. My name is Angela Meyer. I'm sitting here with my wonderful co-host, Abigail Peters. And today we are talking to an amazing guest, another maker. Season one is all makers. And this woman is a designer. She's an inspiration. She's a rancher. She's a mama. And she has dabbled in pretty much every creative field out there, from photography, graphic design, leather. But she really, really loves fashion. And we love that she loves fashion.
A woman after our own hearts.
Yes. Yes. Introducing the incredible Allie Falcon. Allie, how are you?
I'm great. Thank y'all for having me.
We hear you're kicking it down in Austin.
Well, I have Austin as my Instagram profile, but because no one, as far as like collab-wise, where I actually live, Lampasas, Texas, is... would probably find me, you know, like on Instagram, like, cause I'm always like looking to like work with photographers or models and stuff like that. So I just keep it at Austin, but I actually live in Lampasas, Texas. That's where I'm originally from, out here in the middle of nowhere.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah. We're from Iowa. So we get like the claim another city as your own.
Unfortunately, we like have to leave the state to do that. And we're like, right. Oh, Chicago.
I have to tell you, and we told you this yesterday, but yesterday we were in the process of shopping after we sent you the voice memo explaining how we were both going completely insane on your website. We hit the checkout button. We confirmed our purchases. They are somewhere in transit, and you have an incredible, incredible style that I think speaks to both of us in a way that we almost felt like personally, like my wallet felt personally attacked. By her website.
I felt very unsafe in that moment.
I got a laptop case. I got, we're actually going to do a giveaway with one of the items, which I won't say yet. What else did I get? 3 yoga mats, because obviously, like, yes, I teach yoga, but obviously you can only be on one at once. So I'm not sure why I did all 3, other than they were amazing. So tell us a little bit about your design process and tell us about the names of your designs.
Well, I'd love to like lie to you and say that I have this, like, I wake up and I like take a little meditation, and but it is not at all like that. Like, sometimes I will be in, like, my husband and I, back when we were allowed to go places, we would like be in the truck headed somewhere, and an idea just like pops in my head. It is so strange, sometimes, like, my love language tea, like, that, there's, like, a story behind that, like, the I love, you know, with the sign language symbol for I love you, like, that, my parents and I, and my parents' parents had always, like, thrown up the I love you sign anytime they left, and, like, anytime I left for college, or left for 5 minutes, my mom and my both will, like, stand until I am out of sight down the county road, with the holding up the I love you sign, and I've always hung out the window with the I love you sign, and so that's something that was kind of special to me, and I really didn't expect that to resonate with so many people, and I just obviously love turquoise and just like the rest of the world, but I'm a little bit of a basic bitch in that sense. To be like, no, I just have my thing, everybody else is doing it, I'm not tickled for that, but no, I love it, so I just wanted to put a little bit of my spin on it and put some turquoise on it. And also, like, I love to try to translate turquoise into different mediums. Like, that's kind of like how I did with leather. And then once, you know, not saying that the rest of the world's copying me, absolutely not mean that. But when everybody else kind of started doing it, lost its luster for me a little bit. So I was like, what can I do next? You know, so that's why I started to translate, you know, stuff into, but I really am inspired, to get back to the question, the design process. Like, I get inspired by, like, sometimes it's wallpaper. Like, I love going junking, and like, I have an old tapestry that hangs on the back of my couch that is like a mossy green color, and it has like a bunch of like retro-y flowers on it. And that's kind of what inspired like the love stone piece. And the boots in the air kind of deal. And like I said, like I, that just, that image just popped in my head. I don't know. Like, I don't have like a grave design process, but like I do, like a lot of artists in the Western industry are big on like drawing it on paper and then like translating it to the computer, where that's not much my process. I go straight to the computer, kind of get like a rough idea out on Illustrator. And then like, I'm not like a great artist when it comes to like perspective, like the perspective of a boot, like, which is really tricky. Like if you're looking at a boot head on versus sitting up in the air. So like sometimes I just put boots and throw my legs up in the air in my kitchen like a crazy person. And, you know, get a picture of them so I get my perspectives right. So, because it doesn't, like, I'm not great with just, like, looking at a person and drawing them exactly like they look on a piece of paper. Like, it, I, if I want a beautiful woman, I look at the lips on one person on Google and then the eyes of another, and I kind of, like, pull from different, you know, what I kind of have in my mind, what I want my girl to look like, or, and so I pull like hair from one girl and eyes from another, nose here, nose there, because, which is sometimes tricky and it may not always work out, but that's kind of my process. This isn't like a, I sit down and draw it, there it is. It's a pulling from different mediums all over the internet and in the world that I see and junk stores and such.
Yeah, it's funny how surrounding yourself with things that inspire you can be so important to the creative process.
Mm. Oh, absolutely. Like, every single thing on my walls in my house, like, my husband, I joke that he could live in a house with white walls, a recliner, and not even necessarily a TV. Like, some form of, like, entertainment, he would be happy. And, like, every time I come home with a new piece of crap to hang on the wall, he's like, more. But I'm like, you're not the one that has to sit in here all day and like try to come up with, you know, means to make money. So you can go out and ride horses all day. I can't live in a house with just white walls. So
I hear you loud and clear. My space is a disaster all the time, but it's the best kind of mess.
You know, and I think that's really how we spent over an hour on your website yesterday. Yeah. Was we were sitting there saying, oh my gosh, this would fit in with this piece that I already own. This aesthetic is so perfect for my bedroom. Like, Abby bought a duvet cover, and so she's like,
I can't wait to roll up in that.
Yes, she's matching it to the rug in her room, and it's like all of these pieces that you love become your space and become your inspiration. But what are you like inspired by when it comes to creating your designs?
Well, like, even though I've grown up on a ranch and, you know, I currently live on my family's ranch and my husband's a cowboy, like, I was like, if any of my friends are listening to this, like, they would like blow me out of the water if I said I was a cowgirl. I am so far from it. Like, I don't pretend to know all the things. Like, if you need someone to like a man to like stand while y'all are like gathering the cattle, or you need a gate bitch, like, I'm your girl. But oh my God, me. As far as being like hardcore cowgirl, knowing all the things, I am not one of those. But like, I still am inspired by, like, I love to kind of like mix the boho realm with, like, I wouldn't even, like, with a little bit of the Western, but I would almost say I skew almost a little bit more what boho style. Like, what kind of inspires my look is, like, do y'all follow the Junkalo at all?
No, I don't think so.
It's very much, like, bohemian, hardcore bohemian, and, like, there's, like, books called the New Bohemians, and it's all it is like home decor and stuff. But I, you know, a couple of years back, I looked at all of the designs, and she's got like a very specific aesthetic, and the people that love her stuff, like, love her stuff, and they are loyal. And I just didn't see any of that in our world. And she's kind of like made a big name for herself, and like she does everything. She does decor, she does clothing, you know, she does like a little bit of everything. And or she did do clothing, I think she is more in decor now, but I just really didn't see that. And just like any any entrepreneur that has ever been successful will tell you, like, find a gap in the market of something. If there's a need for it out there, fill it, and that's how you, you know, find success. And so I just didn't see people doing, like, it was either just like hardcore serape or hardcore mm-hmm. ranger cars, hardcore horse stuff, browns and blacks and turquoise and red and turquoise only. And I just kind of thought, like, if I love funky colors and like weird stuff, like, but that are still a little like got your Western spin on it, then there's got to be other people out there. And so instead of trying to, like, and that kind of goes like into like building your brand, like, if you stick to what you are and stop trying to chase other people's dreams and other people's art, like, if you're trying to make your art look like somebody else's, in the long term, you aren't going to build a, you know, a loyal following. You're going to build somebody else's following. Mm-hmm. So I think, like, just sticking, even though it took a while, sticking to, like, what's true to me. And, And I do like a little bit of like trendy stuff. Like, I do kind of follow like the turquoise trend for a while. And then I like really liked like the celestial stuff. And I'm still kind of in that realm and just kind of, but moving like a, you know, moving with yourself instead of trying to chase somebody else's art and making your art look like somebody else's because it's pop. Other people are loving what they're doing. It might take a while longer, but your people will find you, kind of thing.
Absolutely. So important. So when you say that, is that part of what kind of played into you dabbling in all of these different mediums? Can you walk us through that? Because you mentioned you've done a little bit of everything. So how did that go hand in hand with you finding this really strong creative voice you have now and like coming into your own style?
Well, like when I would say, so when I first started my business, I don't know, 5 or 6 years ago, I was really down to just try anything. I said that I was a graphic designer and I was in marketing and whatnot, but anything that people would give me a chance to try, I would take off in, you know, one direction. And I was, you know, always building stuff that people were telling me they wanted. And as far as graphics wise and leather wise, and I didn't see like stylistically like a consistency across the board. And I do have like a little bit of a background in, you know, marketing, advertising, and design. And I was just like so like kind of disgusted with myself that like I just was like fitting everyone else's mold no matter like what they wanted, which led to a lot of happy clients. But that's not like why people were coming to me. Like, they weren't coming to me because they loved my aesthetic or loved my design. So I was trying to like find a cutesy pootsy name, and then I was like, you know what, no, like, I want to build my name, and so I'm going to name my business My Name, which may not get me far in the beginning, but hopefully it does later. And it was Allie Falcon Communications then. And then once I, like I said, I was so like disgusted with like my portfolio basically that I was just, I had kind of gotten into leather and kind of in the same breath, like I was just kind of like doing what I thought other people would like. I, to be honest, wasn't down to wear a lot of the stuff I was making because it just like wasn't me. Mm. And as I stopped, I just kind of had to come to Jesus with myself and was like, what, if I don't want to wear something I'm making, then I am in the wrong business. And I was unhappy. I was taking custom orders, and there are great customers out there, but there are the great ones don't leave as much of an impression when you're in the heat of things as the bad ones do.
Yes. And,
you know, which is a shame, but I was still taking custom orders, and I was just, I was living in a constant state of anxiety of just like, okay, now I've got to finish her because, you know, she's been blowing up my Instagram messages. You know, even though she put in an order a week ago, it's been, you know, 2 weeks. Even though I told her a six month wait, you know, and she's already blowing up my, and I just was like, I cannot live like this. No amount of money is worth this kind of bullshit, you know? And so yeah. I just was like,
there's so much pressure that comes with that, with custom orders, right, versus just being yourself and making what you want. And like,
yes,
I think that's so important what you said, making something that you either like want to wear or be proud about wearing or feeling good in.
Yes. And so, like, I think, like, when I stopped taking customs, especially my, like I said, what I kind of missed, like, a little bit of a boat, like, the graphic stuff that I started my business with, like, after, like, a year of me just, like, farting around with leather because I was too poor to buy the things I wanted to buy. And
relatable.
And so relevant.
So that's the reason I started it in the first place. And then after I like started making money taking custom orders and the leather stuff kind of took off a little bit more. And then I just, you know, like made that executive decision. And I was like, I can't tell you how many makers when I stopped taking custom orders reached out to me and were like, please tell me how you just stopped taking custom orders. Mm-hmm. I will say I did not do it on my own. Like, I was lucky enough to have a husband that was still making, you know, an income. I realized that there's single girls out there that were like, please tell me how you did this. Well, yeah, the money slowed down a lot when I did that in the beginning, but I was lucky enough to have like a support system behind me while I made that transition. So it is a little scary, but there were so many makers and I felt for them. Like, they're just like, people are terrible. I'm so tired of making what other people want and then never being satisfied with it. So just like as a PSA, like, be nice to makers out there.
Yes. Yes. Oh my gosh, Allie, you are just speaking to our little maker hearts right now. Like, both of us, I'm a songwriter and Abby creates everything. And also, like, between Abby and I's relationship where, you know, when we went out to the NFR last year, she was kind enough to create an entire wardrobe for me, custom pieces. And I remember those first initial conversations of what do we want some of this to look like? And of course I trust Abby's design, but in my head, and I'm not a designer, I want to go Pinterest. Okay. This looks cool. Create this. And Abby's like, yeah. I trust my vision, man. We're doing bell bottoms. We're doing fringe. We're doing this little, like, some of the shit she was saying to me, I'm like, I don't even know what the fuck you're talking about, but like,
she's just staring at me like
for you,
are you sure?
Yeah. And then you put it on your body and you're like, only an artist. And it's just so above and beyond what I could have done for myself, what I could have created on a Pinterest board. So yeah, like you're saying, I mean, I think there's that middle tier of artists and creators, or maybe not even below middle, I don't know, that can, it's above copying. They're still making, you know, their own thing, but it's not to the full capacity of what they could be doing. And I think a lot of that does come from fear. And so I'm so glad that you're speaking to that right now, because so many people, I think, are in that transition of they want to create, but getting customers to trust them to create is difficult.
And see, like, for me, like, there were so, where I ran into some of my biggest issues, and this is kind of another PSA, but, like, people would say, you know, I love what you do, just get creative. And that is, like, to an artist, you know, whenever that first hat started hearing that, I was like, oh, okay, awesome. And then you deliver the product, and they would be like, you know, well, actually, I was really hoping my brand would be right here, and then I wanted, and then I wanted this area to be pink, and then I wanted, you know, and I really was hoping you'd pull some Southwestern stuff over here, and you're like, this isn't like Dillard's. I can't just put this in the trash. You know, if you wanted that, you should have communicated that, and I was just like, you know, like, anytime I, like, really let myself shine on, like, creativity, there were some phenomenal customers too that were like, this is awesome, I love this so much, and you're like, no one else will have this. And then you have your ones that were like, I say I want something super different, but what I really meant was I want it to look exactly like so-and-so's purse, you know. So they're
yes, and those are the hardest individuals to work with, because it's like, no, do whatever you want. I have no idea. I love your style, but actually this is the specific thing I want, but I don't know how to tell you this. And it's like, if you're going to a maker because you like what they do, then let them do it.
Like what they do.
Then let them do it.
Honestly, I think a lot of it is, and I think as women, we're so scared to, like, openly communicate with one another out of fear of stepping on or offending one another. And I really do think that, like, in a lot of those problems I ran into is because they didn't want to hurt my feelings or offend me. But, like, at the end of the day, especially when I was taking custom orders, I would much rather you just told me exactly what you want. You want to offend me. Then us, like, now we're, like, in this squabble where you've paid for this expensive item and you really don't even want it. And then that was a whole other thing, like, taking deposits up front. Mm-hmm. And then, oh, like, that, bless people that still do that. Like, they are the Mary walking on earth. I didn't have the heart for it. Like, I was just kind of like, all right, well, fuck off. I guess I'll just be poor forever.
You know what? No.
Yep.
So, my dad, I remember telling him that I was going to stop taking custom orders, and he used to build, like, saddles on the sides and stuff, and he was like, I don't get it. Like, do you hate money? And I was like, no, but I would much rather have $5 to my name than have to deal with this one more second. And so, like I said, when I stopped taking custom orders, it was a little bit of a transition. And then I just kind of, like, watched what most, not leather makers at the time, it was more like silversmiths that were doing, like, shop updates. And this was, like, 4 years ago. And that was kind of, like, a new model of selling things. And I was like, so they're just, like, making what they're making, and then people are eating this up. You know, they're just putting it on, and then people are eating it up. So I'm going to jump on that train. And like I said in the beginning, like, anytime a, like, single thing sold, I was like, oh, I sold a whole bolo today. I'm such a badass.
You're like, yes, yes, yes.
Yeah, and then it, like, really did start, like, flying. Like, every single time I would make a batch of stuff, it would fly, and I was just like, all right, there's something to this, you know, shop update stuff. But then in the same breath, I was, you know, handmade. I am, like, a huge advocate for people that are hand making items, but, like, I was so, I would, you know, I would spend the month churning out, you know, like, over 100 leather items, you know, and then, wow, you're just like, praying they all go well. And yeah, I would have, like, you know, several thousands of dollars to my name at, like, that, you know, in one day they would all sell out, which was so cool. But then I was so burnt out and tired that, and you know how shit goes, you have a flat tire all of a sudden. Mm-hmm. As soon as you have money in your pocket, you have a flat tire, or you gotta go spend $400 on groceries. And you know, it was just always like that. It just seemed like, I was like, I never have money. Why do I'm working my ass off and I never have money, or it's already spent. It's like, not even on frivolous things, but it's already spent as soon as I have it. And if I don't start, you know, working my fingers to the bone, you know, if I sold everything on March 31st, if I don't start working my fingers to the bone on April 1st, then, like, we're going to be behind.
Yeah.
And so I got pregnant at the end of the year last year, year before last, 2018. Sorry, it feels like I was pregnant for a minute.
It felt like years.
After, you know, I got pregnant, I was, you know, had a huge belly, and I was still making stuff, and I was just not happy anymore. And the things, I was still happy that things were selling, and I was still, like, happy that, you know, with, like, my online presence, and that people were still, you know, people still thought my stuff was cool, even though I didn't feel cool myself. But I was just like, you know, this isn't, like, when I had this baby, when she hits the ground, I'm dedicating a ton of time to making, like, those purses that I was making, yeah, they're $500 or whatever, but it took a long time to make that $500, and I just, like, didn't feel comfortable with charging more than what I was charging, even though, like, I probably should have, as much time as everything takes. But I just, that's kind of how I evolved into this, like, getting back into graphic design. And my t-shirts, anytime I would just kind of make t-shirts just as, like, extra stuff to fill my booths for, like, the shows I would go to, they would always do really well. And I just thought, you know, I'm just gonna, like, kind of dabble in this. And just, like, with anything, none of it ever just, like, even though, like, I may have had, like, at the time, I think I had, like, 16,000 followers, you fall off the map, they fall off the map with you. Look, that it's really exciting, and I'm more happy in my brand than I've been in a long time.
That is so cool. And I was going to ask you about that, too, because as a musician thinking about like merch, I remember last year, last August, spending $1,900 on hats and being like, oh my God. And then you have to keep that inventory. And so for something like home decor, tell us a little bit about, we saw you working with Society 6. How does that work? They keep all of that inventory. Do you send them a design and they print? Would you recommend that to artists? Tell us a little bit about, you know, your process with that.
I do. For the most part, I've been really happy with Society 6. I don't, as anything on any product you see on Society 6, I do not house, I do not hold inventory on.
Cool.
I guess it's what you call a print on demand service. And there's a lot of those out there, just like, and I've kind of like done my research and like, I actually started, but whenever I was kind of dabbling in all this, I started on Zazzle, which I'm sure if people have heard of Society 6, you've heard of Zazzle. And I just kind of like low key posted like on an Instagram story and like people started buying stuff. And then like all of a sudden, like, I mean, this was like in the first 24 hours, I had a girl like, hey, I placed an order and I never got an order confirmation, but I see that it's come out of my bank account, blah, blah, blah. So I'm like, well, let me look into it. And like, I can't see who orders what. I can just see like the products that are being ordered and the, like the amount of earnings I've earned off of it, but I can't see like, you know, tracking order. I don't handle any sort of the fulfillment or anything. And that's on both Society 6 and Zazzle. But the Zazzle was like, oh yeah, she must have checked out through PayPal. And if they check out through PayPal, we never get the order. And I was like, so you still take the money from them? And they were like, yeah. And I was like, okay, well, I'm out of here. So like, I immediately put all that stuff down and apologize to that girl, and I think she eventually like got it all straightened out and stuff, but I was like, that's not how I want to do business. And so I took it all down and then like did some more research. I was like, maybe I just jumped the gun a little too quick. And so I looked into Society 6 because I knew I had bought stuff from them before, and ordered a couple of products myself, like a couple of different kind of products. And for the most part, I've been really satisfied, especially with the price point for what I've got. And like I said, like Society 6, so like I upload my art, name it, give it a product description. I turn on all the products that I want to be available in that design, which, you know, like as y'all know, since y'all were looking at it yesterday, like it's like...
Yeah, I'd say we got a pretty good feel for that.
We noticed that.
But, like, they're kind of, like, all over the map, and there's some designs that just, like, may not fit well for a yoga mat or may not fit well for, you know, like, a certain thing. And you do have to create multiple different sizes of the design for it to work in, like, all the different types of products they have. And so that's how you do that. And then you, like I said, turn on all the products you want it to be available in. And then you publish it, and then that's it. And then you earn a portion of every sale, which on your like wall, like I think like prints and I can't remember what all products, but it's mostly just like prints, like wall prints and stuff. You can set your own markup. And then on the rest of the products, you get, I think, like 10% of every, which really doesn't seem like a lot, but if you like pour a lot of effort into it and promoting it and, you know, investing in it a little bit by like ordering products that you want in your own house and photographing them and so people can see them in action. And I think that's kind of been like what helped it kind of blow up for me, because I've only been on it since November. And people are just like tagging me and stuff, and it's just like so awesome, because like it was so awesome when people tagged me in their leather stuff, but it's like even more awesome because I know I'm like, I'm able to share this now, and I, you know, I can continue to like promote this and people can still get it, whereas like the leather stuff, like people tag me in a picture, I could share it, but then there's like 100 people going, where can I get this?
Like a that is one of a kind.
You're like, sorry, gotcha. And, you know, that pisses people off. And you know what? And some people, like, that's their jam, and they're charging, you know, tons of money for that one-of-a-kind item, and they should. But, like, it's so much – it makes my social media life so much easier to just be able to share what people are doing with my stuff. And, you know, I still take pictures. I still order stuff and take my own pictures of stuff once in a blue moon now. But, like, it's been, financially wise, it has made a huge impact being able to just, like, sit back while other people are taking pictures of your stuff. And they're, like, loving it and sharing it and creating your content for you, which is just like so valuable that you don't realize up until you actually have it. You know, like I was so worried about what my feed looked like that I was like, if I didn't take the picture, I hardly wanted to share it. And I just got too obsessed about it. And I feel like my presence has grown so much more now that I'm not such a stickler about, like, the colors of my feed.
Well, I'm going to tell you what, Allie, we're looking at your page now, and it's beautiful. And it definitely, like, is your very specific brand, which, I mean, speaks to your aesthetic, mm-hmm. that, like, your voice is so clear that anybody can buy it and pull it into their life. And it, you know, it just makes sense in the best kind of way.
A little pop of Allie.
A little bit of this, a little bit of that. And I mean, of course you have almost 20,000 followers. Again, I say rightfully so, but you mentioned that you're letting your work really speak for itself at this point, and like your customers are the ones sending you their photos. Do you ever do work with, like, influencers, or how did you get to this point that you are who you are online?
Where I, like, my Instagram really, like, blew up, honestly, wasn't even, it was before I got my leather stuff started. I was just kind of, like, doing anything networking wise to just like meet people or develop relationships with people that I admired. And I looked into actually becoming like kind of like an influencer myself before, like, I was really into leather work. And I actually reached out to Cowgirl Magazine. Like I said, this was the first year I was in business, and just was like, I've got to get bigger. I cannot do like this $100 here, $100 there forever. And I reached out to Cowgirl Magazine just like on a whim about writing for them, which was like not in my wheelhouse at all. But I if you read my captions, 90% of the time I'm sure I've got a comma. Like, my go-to, if I don't know what I'm doing, is dot, dot, dot.
Same. Pro tip. Oh my gosh, same.
No one ever yelled at you for that, but I just sent them kind of like a really funny email. Honestly, I did my research of, like, who is, like, the editors, and I noticed that they kind of had a couple of, like, fashion blog things on their website, but not a ton. And I just reached out to them and, like, kind of sent this, like, quirky email that was still professional, but then, like, sent them some, like, pictures that I had taken of, like, outfits. And, I mean, they're so amateur. Like, I would probably die if I thought of it. Either they were real desperate, or I sold myself enough that they were like, yeah, for our fashion blog. And so, like, they paid me, like not a ton of money at all, but, like, it was something consistent at the time to, write, I think it was three or four blogs a week, and they didn't have to be long. And, as I would write, I was obviously, like, they were real great about letting me, as long as it was, like, somewhat Western, writing about whatever the hell I wanted to write about, saying whatever I wanted to say. And so I got to write about just, like, all these, like, brands that I admired, and people started to, every time I would write a blog, I would tag them on Instagram. And, like, kind of, I just kind of, like, identified myself with Cowgirl Magazine, but also made sure I, like branded, like, with Allie Falcon, or, like, written, you know, made sure I tagged it from my personal page. And that's kind of how I, like, started to, like, build relationships with people, and people identified me as somebody that was, like, you know, kind of in Western fashion. And people started reaching out to me, like, about writing about them in Cowgirl Magazine. And eventually, like, I just, once I kind of started building that, and then I started, that was like the crossover there was with my, I started doing leather work while I was writing, and then like I would share some of my personal work on there. And like I always tell people, like, in the beginning, no one's gonna be your biggest advocate, and so you have to kind of be your own cheerleader. And like it feels like such a dickhead move to be like, look what I did. But no one's gonna do that for you in the beginning, so you kind of got to do it yourself and like fake it till you make it kind of thing, until people start to really care and listen to what you have to say. And so I kind of developed my name. I would honestly credit a lot of it to Cowgirl Magazine. And then I started, like I said, once I kind of stopped, the next step on my growth was stopping taking custom orders and building what I wanted to build, and kind of built that like panicky hype of like things are gonna sell out. And then
FOMO.
Don't miss it.
I'm such a sucker for it. Like, even Same. Though like I do it, I'm a sucker for it myself. So yes. And then I guess the next step in that journey was just like I said, deciding to stop working my fingers to the bone and think a little like work smarter, not harder. And instead of just like being aligned with one like one niche, like leather or t-shirts, or like I really just kind of want to be a brand in general, that like no matter what I do, it has my name on it and my spin on things, and that the people that loved the shirt, they'll love the shoes, or, you know, like, or love the purse, they love the home decor as well. So and that, like, once I kind of got back on the map with my t-shirts and stuff, and then I added the home decor, I've started to feel a little bit more comfortable about dabbling with different realms, and the newer content that I create, and the newer ideas that I come out with. Like, I notice if I stop, like, if I have, like, a month where I haven't created a new design, I certainly see that growth, that Instagram growth start to dwindle. And then I, you know, all of a sudden come out with two new designs, and it starts to take off again. And just creating things that people want to share. And being likable, being not so snooty, and not think that you're, like, you know, the shit all the time and your poo-poo don't stink. And just, like, you know, being relatable and being nice to people, and being trustworthy. I think, like, a lot of people, I remember telling people, like, whenever I took custom orders, like, look, I'm not going to be able to touch this for 2 months, or I'm not going to be able to touch this for 6 months, or, and even with, like, graphics, before I stopped taking customs on graphics and stuff, like, if you just, like, being honest and trustworthy, that comes back for you, you know, in big ways. It's a big payoff in the end.
I love what you said about all of that. It's so good. And I love what you were talking about with, like, even going back to Cowgirl Magazine, how maybe you didn't put a comma in the right place or whatever. I hope to God we are getting away finally in all platforms of media where we have to have these perfect people, and then you meet them in real life and you're like, well, what the hell? She doesn't even know how to ride a horse. And then yeah. We were so worried about getting the comma in the right place, we forgot to, like, hire somebody that has a passion for what they're speaking about. And so I think it's cool to see people within not only this industry, but kind of across the board, that are actually real people, because that's who's going to inspire real people. So I think it's cool that, you know, you're really speaking to that.
And also, I love what you said about, like, remembering that there's room to grow, and just being true to yourself and trusting that process of evolution, and allowing, you know, your people to grow with you. There's so much to be said for the power of that collaboration, and for always being who you are no matter what.
Like, it sounds cheesy, but it really is. Like, I think now that I've been in it for a little while, even though, like, some, I think people get caught up in followers and whatnot, like, I think in long term, if you just, like, really do stick, and I can, you know, I think I watch, whenever I first started, there was, like, me and, like, I think one or two other girls that, like, were kind of, like, into graphic design in the Western world, which was, you know, like, I, and there's a reason for that. Like, my mom, dad, and husband, I still think, like, when people ask him, like, what I did for a living, they're like, seagull stuff. Yeah, it's kind of like a scary space for, like, the agricultural and the Western world, like, that people don't know about. And then, like, you know, that was what kind of, like, helped. Another thing that helped me get on the map was there wasn't a lot of us that were doing stuff like this. And people, like, boutiques and they really needed someone to draw them a logo that looked, you know, related to them. And there was, like, me and, like, Katie Jade, and I'm there was, like, a few other girls that, like, were doing stuff, and, like, Katie Jade had a very specific style that I now feel like a lot of people are sharing that similar style, and that may be, like, their creative process is just similar, like, but there wasn't a lot of different, like, my style and Katie Jade's style were just, like, completely different. We were both, like, could do Western stuff. It was, like, completely different. And, yeah, I think just, like, if you, like, that goes back to, like, if you follow somebody, if you're trying to be someone else's style for cheaper, that you're probably not gonna, like, hang in there in the long run. So, yeah, sticking to, like, my guns about, like, what I like, what I like to wear, what I like to decorate with, what I like to draw, and hope, just pray. And sometimes people don't like it. Like, there's just some things that, like, I'll draw something and I'm like, this is the best thing that's ever come out of my hand. People are like, wah, wah, wah.
You post it and you're like, that did not and go fall. As expected.
Yeah, like, if it doesn't have a cow skull on it, then I don't want it, kind of thing. But
well, it's certainly a slow growing industry. Like you said, I mean, a lot of Western industry seems to be word of mouth. It's family, it's tradition. And so we are seeing this new age, and you are certainly one of the biggest and brightest players within that field. And
hashtag goals.
Yes. And we're just, I mean, I know we'll be talking to you at 50K and 100K and 200K, and it's just going to keep growing. And we're so, so happy for Abby. Just spilled coffee all over herself. So happy for you, though, to watch your brand grow. And I followed you for a very long time and am a huge fan of yours and Katie Jade's as well. It's just, like you said, completely different, unique, but still within that same vein of just authenticity.
So people, if you don't follow Allie already, if you're not familiar with her work, if you're one of those rare individuals, head over to her page. Definitely check her out. Allie, can you let everyone know where they can find you?
Okay. At Instagram, it's Allie Falcon. It's A-L-L-I-E and Falcon like the bird. And then my website is alliefalcon.com. And you can access any of my Society 6 home decor by going to my website and clicking shop. And then I have linked all my home decor shop links will take you over to Society 6, or you can swipe up in any of my home decor highlights on Instagram and it'll take you to Society 6. Cause I know it's a little, that's another struggle bus thing. We're trying to navigate it. People are like, I'm on your website and I don't see any home decor. So that's really like a kind of a tricky spot right now. But
they'll find it.
I'm going to tell you what, Angela and I certainly had no problem finding our way to that.
We found it just fine. Well, Allie, thank you so much for being on the Breaking Western podcast today with us. This has just been an absolute pleasure. We feel re-inspired right now. Thank you just, again, so much for being here.
Well, thank y'all for doing this. I think it's awesome that y'all are, like I said, kind of filling a space that there's not a lot of podcasts going on. So I'm excited that y'all had me.
All right, guys, this has been another episode of the Breaking Western podcast. If you like what you heard today, make sure to leave us a good review. Go follow us on Instagram at Breaking Western Podcast. You can follow me at AngelaMeyer23, Abby at Abby from Iowa.
Yep.
Still, we're working on it.
I'll always be from here.
Well, that's true. Unfortunately. So, yeah. All right, guys. Thank you so much. We will see y'all next week.